With Asalayana, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. So I have heard. At one time the Buddha was staying near Sarvati in Jeta's Grove, an Arthapindika's monastery. Now at that time around 500 Brahmins from abroad were residing in Sarvati on some business. Then those Brahmins thought, this ascetic Gotama advocates purification for all four classes. Who is capable of having a dialogue with him about this? Now at that time the Brahmin student Asalayana was residing in Sarvati. He was young, just tonsured. He was 16 years old. He had mastered the three Vedas, together with their vocabularies, ritual, phonology and etymology, and the testament as fifth. He knew philology and grammar, and was well versed in cosmology and the marks of a great man. Then those Brahmins thought, this Asalayana is capable of having a dialogue with the ascetic Gotama about this. So they approached Asalayana and said to him, this ascetic Gotama advocates purification for all four classes. Please, Mr. Asalayana, have a dialogue with the ascetic Gotama about this. When they said this, Asalayana said to them, they say that the ascetic Gotama is a speaker of principle. But speakers of principle are hard to have a dialogue with. I'm not capable of having a dialogue with the ascetic Gotama about this. For a second time, those Brahmins said to him, this ascetic Gotama advocates purification for all four classes. Please, Mr. Asalayana, have a dialogue with the ascetic Gotama about this, for you have lived as a wanderer. And for a second time, Asalayana refused. For a third time, those Brahmins said to him, this ascetic Gotama advocates purification for all four classes. Please, Mr. Asalayana, have a dialogue with the ascetic Gotama about this, for you have lived as a wanderer. Don't admit defeat before going into battle. When they said this, Asalayana said to them, clearly, gentlemen, I'm not getting through to you when I say, they say that the ascetic Gotama is a speaker of principle, but speakers of principle are hard to have a dialogue with. I'm not capable of having a dialogue with the ascetic Gotama about this. Nevertheless, I shall go at your bidding. Then Asalayana, together with a large group of Brahmins, went to the Buddha and exchanged greetings with him. When the greetings and polite conversation were over, he sat down to one side and said to the Buddha, Master Gotama, the Brahmins say, only Brahmins are the highest caste, other castes are inferior. Only Brahmins are the light caste, other castes are dark. Only Brahmins are purified, not others. Only Brahmins are Brahma's rightful sons, born of his mouth, born of Brahma, created by Brahma, heirs of Brahma. What do you say about this? But Asalayana, Brahmin women are seen menstruating, being pregnant, giving birth and breastfeeding. Yet even though they're born from a Brahmin womb, they say, only Brahmins are the highest caste, other castes are inferior. Only Brahmins are the light caste, other castes are dark. Only Brahmins are purified, not others. Only Brahmins are Brahma's rightful sons, born of his mouth, born of Brahma, created by Brahma, heirs of Brahma. Even though you say this, still the Brahmins maintain their belief. What do you think, Asalayana? Have you heard that in Greece and Persia and other foreign lands there are only two classes, masters and bonded servants, and that masters may become servants and servants masters? Yes, I have heard that. Then what is the source of the Brahmin's self-confidence and forcefulness in this matter that they make this claim? Even though you say this, still the Brahmins maintain their belief. What do you think, Asalayana? Suppose an aristocrat were to kill living creatures, steal, and commit sexual misconduct, to use speech that's false, divisive, harsh, or nonsensical, and to be covetous, malicious, with wrong view. When their body breaks up after death, They'd be reborn in a place of loss, a bad place, the underworld, hell. Would this happen only to an aristocrat and not to a Brahmin? Or suppose a merchant or a worker were to act in the same way? Would that result befall only a merchant or a worker, and not to a Brahmin? No, Master Gotama, if they acted the same way, the same result would befall an aristocrat, a Brahmin, a merchant, or a worker. For if any of the four classes were to kill living creatures, steal and commit sexual misconduct, to use speech that's false, divisive, harsh, or nonsensical, and to be covetous, malicious, with wrong view, then, when their body breaks up after death, they'd be reborn in a place of loss, a bad place, the underworld, hell. Then what is the source of the Brahmin's self-confidence and forcefulness in this matter, that they make this claim? Even though you say this, still the Brahmins maintain their belief. What do you think, Asalayana? Suppose a Brahmin were to refrain from killing living creatures, stealing and committing sexual misconduct, from using speech that's false, divisive, harsh or nonsensical, and from covetousness, malice and wrong view. When their body breaks up after death, they'd be reborn in a good place, a heavenly realm. Would this happen only to a Brahmin and not to an aristocrat, a merchant or a worker? No, Master Gotama. If they acted the same way, the same result would befall an aristocrat, a Brahmin, a merchant or a worker. For if any of the four classes were to refrain from killing living creatures, stealing, and committing sexual misconduct, from using speech that's false, divisive, harsh or nonsensical, and from covetousness, malice and wrong view, then, when their body breaks up after death, they'd be reborn in a good place, a heavenly realm. Then what is the source of the Brahmin's self-confidence and forcefulness in this matter, that they make this claim? Even though you say this, still the Brahmins maintain their belief. What do you think, Asalayana? Is only a Brahmin capable of developing a heart of love, free of enmity and ill will for this region, and not an aristocrat, merchant or worker? No, Master Gotama. Aristocrats, Brahmins, merchants and workers can all do so. For all four classes are capable of developing a heart of love, free of enmity and ill will for this region. Then what is the source of the Brahmin's self-confidence and forcefulness in this matter, that they make this claim? Even though you say this, still the Brahmins maintain their belief. What do you think, Asalayana? Is only a Brahmin capable of taking some bathing paste of powdered shell, going to the river and washing off dust and dirt, and not an aristocrat, merchant or worker? No, Master Gotama. All four classes are capable of doing this. Then what is the source of the Brahmin's self-confidence and forcefulness in this matter that they make this claim? Even though you say this, still the Brahmins maintain their belief. What do you think, Asalayana? Suppose an anointed aristocratic king were to gather 100 people born in different castes and say to them, "Please, gentlemen, let anyone here who was born in a family of aristocrats, Brahmins or chieftains take a drill stick made of teak, sal, frankincense wood, sandalwood or cherry wood, light a fire and produce heat. And let anyone here who was born in a family of outcasts, hunters, bamboo workers, chariot makers or waste collectors, take a drill stick made from a dog's drinking trough, a pig's trough, a dustbin or castor oil wood, light a fire and produce heat." What do you think, Asalayana? Would only the fire produced by the high-class people with good quality wood have flames, colour and radiance, and be usable as fire, and not the fire produced by the low-class people with poor quality wood? No, Master Gotama. The fire produced by the high-class people with good quality wood would have flames, colour and radiance, and be usable as fire. And so would the fire produced by the low-class people with poor quality wood. For all fire has flames, colour and radiance, and is usable as fire. Then what is the source of the Brahmin's self-confidence and forcefulness in this matter that they make this claim? Even though you say this, still the Brahmins maintain their belief. What do you think, Asalayana? Suppose an aristocrat boy was to sleep with a Brahmin girl and they had a child. Would that child be called an aristocrat after the father, or a Brahmin after the mother? They could be called either. What do you think, Asalayana? Suppose a Brahmin boy was to sleep with an aristocrat girl, and they had a child. Would that child be called an aristocrat after the mother, or a Brahmin after the father? They could be called either. What do you think, Asalayana? Suppose a mare were to mate with a donkey, and she gave birth to a mule. Would that mule be called a horse after the mother, or a donkey after the father? It's a mule, as it is a crossbreed. I see the difference in this case, but not in the previous cases. What do you think, Asalayana? Suppose there were two Brahmin students who were brothers who had shared a womb. One was educated, a reciter, while the other was uneducated and not a reciter. Who would the Brahmins feed first at an offering of food for ancestors, an offering of a dish of milk rice, a sacrifice, or a feast for guests? They'd first feed the student who is educated, a reciter, for how could an offering to someone who is uneducated and not a reciter be very fruitful? What do you think, Asalayana? Suppose there were two Brahmin students who were brothers who had shared a womb. One was educated, a reciter, but was unethical, of bad character, while the other was uneducated and not a reciter, but was ethical and of good character. Who would the Brahmins feed first? They'd first feed the student who was uneducated and not a reciter, but was ethical and of good character. For how could an offering to someone who is unethical and of bad character be very fruitful? Firstly, you relied on birth, Asalayana. Then you switched to education. Then you switched to abstemious behaviour. Now you've come around to believing in purification for the four classes, just as I advocate. When he said this, Asalayana sat silent, embarrassed, shoulders drooping, downcast, depressed, with nothing to say. Knowing this, the Buddha said to him, "Once upon a time, Asalayana, seven Brahmin hermits settled in leaf huts in a wilderness region. They had the following harmful misconception. Only Brahmins are the highest caste, other castes are inferior. Only Brahmins are the light caste, other castes are dark. Only Brahmins are purified, not others. Only Brahmins are Brahma's rightful sons, born of his mouth, born of Brahma, created by Brahma, heirs of Brahma." The hermit Devala the Dark heard about this. So he did up his hair and beard, dressed in magenta robes, put on his boots, grasped a golden staff and appeared in the courtyard of the seven Brahmin hermits. Then he wandered about the yard saying, "Where, oh where, have those Brahmin hermits gone? Where, oh where, have those Brahmin hermits gone?" Then those Brahmin hermits said, "Who's this wandering about our courtyard like a cowpoke? Let's curse him." So they cursed Devala the Dark. "Be ashes, wretch, be ashes, wretch." But the more the hermits cursed him, the more attractive, good-looking and lovely Devala the Dark became. Then those Brahmin hermits said, "Our austerities are in vain. Our spiritual path is fruitless. For when we used to curse someone to become ashes, ashes they became. But the more we curse this one, the more attractive, good-looking and lovely he becomes." "Gentlemen, your austerities are not in vain. Your spiritual path is not fruitless. Please let go of your malevolence towards me." "We let go of our malevolence towards you, but who are you, sir?" "Have you heard of the hermit Devala the Dark?" "Yes, sir." "I am he, sirs." Then they approached Devala and bowed to him. Devala said to them, "I heard that when the seven Brahmin hermits had settled in leaf huts in a wilderness region, they had the following harmful misconception. Only Brahmins are the highest caste, other castes are inferior. Only Brahmins are the light caste, other castes are dark. Only Brahmins are purified, not others. Only Brahmins are Brahma's rightful sons, born of his mouth, born of Brahma, created by Brahma, heirs of Brahma." "That's right, sir. But do you know whether your birth mother only had relations with a Brahmin and not with a non-Brahmin?" "We don't know that." "But do you know whether your birth mother's mothers, back to the seventh generation, only had relations with Brahmins and not with non-Brahmins?" "We don't know that." "But do you know whether your birth father only had relations with a Brahmin woman and not with a non-Brahmin?" We don't know that. But do you know whether your birth father's fathers, back to the seventh generation, only had relations with Brahmins and not with non-Brahmins? We don't know that. But do you know how an embryo is conceived? We do know that, sir. An embryo is conceived when these three things come together. The mother and father come together. The mother is in the fertile part of her menstrual cycle, and the spirit being reborn is present. But do you know for sure whether that spirit is an aristocrat, a Brahmin, a merchant, or a worker? We don't know that. In that case, sirs, don't you know what you are? In that case, sir, we don't know what we are. So even those seven Brahmin hermits were stumped when pursued, pressed and grilled by the seer Devala on their own doctrine of ancestry. So how could you succeed, being grilled by me now on your own doctrine of ancestry, you who have not even mastered your own teacher's doctrine? When he had spoken, Asalayana said to him, "Excellent Master Gotama, from this day forth may Master Gotama remember me as a lay follower who has gone for refuge for life."